It's that time again for Even Steven.
Steven.
We're in our first Samuel audio devotional. And this is the panel, and today is Valentine's Day. And Steve, did you get your wife anything for Valentine's Day?
No, we've agreed a long time ago that we don't really want to celebrate made-up holidays.
And so you believed her?
Yes.
You're in trouble, my
really,
friend.
So really, I just get gifts every Valentine's Day, and she doesn't get anything.
Nice, nice. We thought we'd make today an opportunity to invite our wives to be here to celebrate Valentine's Day with us.
A special panel. That's right.
So I'm here with, obviously, Even Steven, Steve Thompson, but also his wife,
Jessica Thompson.
And my hot smoking wife,
Vicky Dare.
I'm just trying to be that NASCAR preacher.
Mm-hmm. And you go what nickname around your house?
Hot Vicky.
Hot Vicky. Mm-hmm. You have been called Big Mama before, too.
I have. That's okay, too. But some people struggle with that.
Yeah. Do you have a nickname around your house, Jessica?
I can't say the things that I get called.
She has been described as having, what is it, luscious hair.
Luscious hair, right. Nice.
100% luscious.
Nice. So we're covering this past week from 1 Samuel. And
you know, it felt like a really Durr-heavy week this week.
Sorry.
Dave Durr Sr.
And Chris McGraw. Yeah.
With Chris McGraw. And then we had Gail Durr, who's our in-house professional baton twirler, along
Definitely.
With Faith Bergacre.
Yeah.
Then we had an aberration on Wednesday. And
Steve
then
Thompson.
Thursday, the guy who stands head and shoulders above them all. And then today we get Hot Vicky.
Yes.
Right? I feel like we should rename it the Durvotional Podcast.
That's pretty good.
Durvotional.
Wow,
I stand
thanks,
with you
Tom.
In
that reminds me of somebody else who mansplained this week.
I was inspired
first
by
of
that.
All, about what
solidarity.
I talked about wasn't, the joke was the mansplain.
I know, but it was still mansplaining.
And you felt condescended to.
Absolutely. Didn't you, Jess?
I think
yes. Yes, I did.
I heard her gasp when she was listening.
Absolutely.
So we're hitting some different topics now. So Vicky, we'll start with you. Have a little fun with this. What were some?
Let's have a little fun.
Let's have
this.
A little fun. So for you, you kept track of some little quotes from this past week.
Tried
what were some quotes that
track
popped
those
up?
In my head? One is Dave Durr, Pops. He said, "Sometimes I can get on the grumble bus."
Loved
grumble bus.
The grumble bus.
Made me laugh.
That was a new term for me. Let's see. And then I think the passage that Gail read, they just talked about Saul, so tall. And as a short person, it felt like, can't we be important too?
So talking about height and all those things, any
right.
other quotes come to mind from this
I feel
past
like
week?
Tomps also talked about Saul's hot bod.
Did.
And then just obviously like, displeasure.
Yeah. Yes, a little snake-esque, right? So I mentioned solidarity, right?
Yep.
And you thought I was mansplaining that.
Which you were.
Which was the joke. And then...
But still a mansplain.
Dave Durr took his word of the year and he said, listen, I'm a perfectionist, so only one word.
Yes.
But he wanted to add radical trust, and he made it into one word, allegedly.
Rad trust?
By calling it rad trust.
Do we think there's a hyphen?
I don't know if technically that's... Is that one and a half words?
I think
maybe it's
just
one of those words where it's capitalized at the R and then capitalized at the T, but it's still one word.
Oh, and put a hashtag in front of it.
Yeah.
Like a good Dutch last name.
Yes, exactly.
Like Van...
Van Weeren.
Van Durr.
And then, so we've had some fun words and such today.
We have.
And then, Jessica, for you, what stood out for you in this past week?
It was what I felt one of the most ominous verses in Scripture when God said, if that's what you want, that's what you'll get. And it's like... In a couple, when you're disagreeing perhaps about something, and then usually the woman says, fine. That's what it felt like to me.
Can you imagine? So God is like, fine.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And Israel, very much like the man, were like, oh, cool. He's letting us off the hook.
Wow,
here.
That's great. Thank you.
I get what I want.
We'll see how
Not
this turns
be
out.
What you want.
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
So getting what we want isn't always a good thing. Is what you're saying.
Absolutely.
And yet, God kind of does that all the time with us.
He does.
what I thought was interesting also about that, though, was how Samuel said, right, all these things are going to happen, and none of them were good.
And of what a king was going to do.
Yes.
Right. You're going to get taxed big time. They're going they're going to enlist all of your kids in the army. They're going to be his servants. All this nasty stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And they still said, we'll take that.
Yes.
Add to cart. Check out.
It reminds me of ordering like a medium ice cream at Norm's. I shouldn't.
Which they heap on.
I know what's going to happen.
Right. And they say, are you sure you want the medium?
Are you sure? And I'm like, duh, yes.
And then you find out you're lactose intolerant.
And then you find out you're lactose intolerant.
Israel found out they were lactose intolerant.
Right.
So, Vicky, what else? You brought up some of the quotes and such, but anything else kind of catch your attention?
The other thing that caught my attention was Faith had shared this, how Saul didn't feel equipped, ready, just discounted. It just made me think again how many things I potentially sideline myself from because I just don't think I can do it.
So you're one of those hide amongst the baggage kind of people.
Yes, that was the joke.
You could say that Saul had baggage.
Had baggage.
I laughed out loud at that one.
On a tangent of that subject, though, there I don't remember the exact statistics, but it's something about when women and men look at job listings.
Yeah.
Men will apply for things that they are not qualified for to a huge degree and are more likely to get jobs because of that. Whereas women look at the list of requirements and say, well, I don't meet those, so I'm not going to apply for this. Mm. And I just wonder what the fundamental difference is.
I think I'm going to be applying for a part-time astronaut job.
Wow.
Might as well. Jesus. They need chaplains in space.
Because you're going alone, pal.
You don't want to go to Mars, do you?
I wish you could have seen Steve's pained expression when she said that.
I thought she'd support all of my dreams.
Right.
I guess not.
Nope. If that's what you want,
I thought
go
we
ahead.
Had good solidarity Fine. Of our marriage.
Fine.
Fine.
Go to Mars. Evangelize yes. those people. I'm staying home.
All right, Tom, how about you? What are some things that you thought were interesting?
Yeah, well, I really appreciate what Faith and Gail, how they led through their mourning. And I just took that opportunity to do exactly what Gail said she did, and just, or your parents do, actually. They hold their hands open and they say, God, what would you have for us today? And just make us open to whatever opportunities are there. I met a guy just last week. At a coffee shop, who went to Watermark as a kid. When he found out I was a pastor here, he asked, hey, did your kids' ministry used to give out the little flip-flops?
Mm.
And I was
You're
like,
kidding.
Yeah, that was us. And so he only went for like 3 weeks back in 2004, but he remembered that from Watermark. But then I got to hear this incredible story of how, like, just 4 years ago, he gave his life to the Lord when he had a pretty dramatic encounter with the Holy Spirit. And so it's just, again, that's like one of those divine appointments where it was super encouraging to get to meet somebody like that. I'm just really thankful for those opportunities if we kind of have the eyes to see them.
Did you feel like how you started your day with your hands open? Did you find yourself a little more open, a little bit more curious about what was going on around you as a result of that?
Yeah, I think so. And honestly, a lot of it is just our interpretation of those events. But I think the awareness, it's totally the confirmation bias where, you know, you buy a red car and all of a sudden you see a lot of red cars on the street. But when you're being aware of something, you then are able to see it a lot more. And I think that's true with God's activity in our life, his voice in our life. If we're open to it, if we're paying attention to it, we interact with it that much more. It's not that he's speaking any more or less. It's more our awareness of it. So, yeah, I think that's a huge key.
So here's the thing in this book. What's the deal with the fixation on people's look and Saul being so tall and handsome and all that kind of stuff, especially in a book that clearly has God saying God doesn't look at the outward appearance, he looks at the heart? Why bring it up the whole time?
Because he was giving them what they wanted.
Yeah.
If that's what you want, that's what you'll get. And then it sets up the perfect foil to David.
It's really good.
Even though God's spirit came upon him and he prophesied and he did good at the beginning, even before that, he was still kind of a either insecure or weak person.
Kind of passive.
But he looked a certain way. So we attribute good things to people who we perceive as attractive, right?
Right. And you put character problems on a big stage and they get revealed in a big way.
So it is fascinating how we can make snap judgments about people based on just how they look, right? It's fascinating.
All the time, unfortunately.
Right.
It works out well for Hot Vicky.
I am just here for amusement. Yes.
All right, to wrap up our time, why don't we say, just to kind of summarize the point that hit you this past week from God's Word and through the devotionals. For me, I would say God looks at the heart, so I will as well.
Can you get that to rhyme somehow?
I'll work on it while you're talking.
I'll go with a different one for me. It's been kind of a confirmation thing of God just working on me as a leader and what does it look like for me to lead and to actually step into doing that with my family first and foremost. But I've been feeling like God pushing me into actually leading intentionally. And so this book and this week has been just added confirmation that God is inviting me into that.
When I hear the phrase, if that's what you want, then that's what you'll get from God, it just reminds me of how many times I have clamored for something and he's taken his hands off and said, okay. And then I end up not having the best thing that he intended, but just the thing that I thought was good. And I miss out.
I think the thing I'm thinking about is just how do I respond to God's invitation to more and not just assume or go right to that I can't do it. And this is out of my comfort zone. I can't speak. I can't lead. So I just won't. So just thinking about ways that I maybe do that and don't even realize I'm doing it.
Well, on this Valentine's Day, Steve and I wanted to sing you a little song.
Yep. You've lost that love and feeling.
Just kidding.
I thought for sure it was going to be, I cherish the treasure.
I thought we'd start off with love, exciting and new.
All I know is come aboard.
We're expecting you and love. Well, on this Valentine's Day, we want to say thank you so much for listening.
Thank you.
And we'll leave you with a prayer.
Father God, thank you for the ways in which old stories can impact our lives today. And I pray that we would listen to your guidance to us through these scriptures that we've been reading. Father, let us be open and listening to you and what you would have us do. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Have a good rest of your day.